And the last time I taught was on a Sunday morning, and I taught on contentment. And I used the passages in Philippians, which we're going to look at here in a second. But before I do that, the Lord finally gave me what He wants to share with you, His people, tonight. And it goes right along with contentment, because you can never have contentment without what we're going to look at tonight. So, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity to look into Your Word. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit, the teacher within. We thank You for the Holy Spirit, the one who anoints us and causes Your Word to land on a fertile soil of the hearts and the lives of those who are hearing. Lord, I just commit this evening to You. I ask that You be glorified. I ask that You impart what You need to impart and what You desire to impart to each and every one of our hearts tonight for one purpose and one purpose only, that we would be more and more in the image and likeness of Your Son, Jesus Christ. We give You all the glory, all the praise, and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's open with Philippians chapter 4. I'm just going to do a little quick review here on Paul and what Paul learned and what I taught on regarding contentment. So go to Philippians chapter 4. And I want to read verses 11 to 13, because Paul says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And when I taught on the subject of contentment, there were some key verses that I referred to. And they're back up earlier in this chapter, where it says in verses 6 to 7, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And in verse 6, I focused in on, there were three things. There was prayer, there was supplication, and there was thanksgiving. I want to take and look at, because what the Lord showed me is, we cannot have true contentment without being thankful. No matter what it is in our life, if we're not thankful, we cannot be content. Like Paul said, he was, in whatever state he was in, he was content. And he was content because he learned how to be thankful. And the two go hand in hand, and that's what the Lord showed me, that contentment and thankfulness go hand in hand. Because when we're discontent, we're usually unthankful. And I want to go to 1 Thessalonians. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians here. And I want to look at chapter 5. Verse 16, starting in verse 16. It says, "Rejoice without ceasing." No, it says, "Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." In everything, give thanks. Is that easy to do? To give thanks in everything? It is if we have understand God's heart toward this subject, it is easy to give thanks in everything. That word rejoice evermore, it means to be glad, to be well, to thrive, full of cheer, happy. What is it that disrupts our cheerfulness and our happiness? We live in this world. I mean, it's quite obvious. There's things in this world that is going to try to get us to be unthankful, bent out of joint of what's going on, and we lose our cheer. We lose our happiness. And that word thanks there, it says, in everything give thanks. That word thanks means be grateful. Feel thankful. Express gratitude. Express gratitude. When was the last time you were in a trial and tribulation and you expressed gratitude? God wants to get us to that place where we can express gratitude, because when we start to give thanks to God and we show gratitude to God for what, because basically what we're saying to God when we show thankfulness and gratitude is, Lord, I know you're in charge. I know you've got everything under control. So what does that do? It goes back to the lesson on contentment. It allows us to be content. Now, that passage I read in Philippians, Paul was writing that, correct? And Paul was writing that when he was in prison. So, I want to take a look at something before I go back. I want you to go to Acts. I really don't care. Acts chapter 16. The reason I said I really don't care is because Alexi or whoever it is was talking. Okay. Where is that, Lord? I know I wrote it down. Oh, yes, here it is. Okay, thank you. Acts 16:25. Okay? Now, remember, this is the same person that wrote those verses that we saw in Philippians about being content in whatever state he's in. In verse 25 of chapter 16, it says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bonds were loosed. So, what is Paul doing here? Is he being unthankful, ungrateful that he's in prison? No. He's praising God. He's giving thanks for where he's at. And we know the rest of the story. It says, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. Now, this is separate from my message, but I want you to, it's something you can use, because at some point in time, you may run across someone who's trying to commit suicide and you don't know how to pray. This is a very important point for someone who's in that situation, because the prison guard drew out a sword and he was going to commit suicide here. And what does Paul say? Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm. That's an important prayer. If you happen to be ministering or talking to someone who's in the process or talking about, pray, do thyself no harm. Because God took care of this man. He'll take care of that person you're praying for. That's a separate thing, okay? But sometimes we kind of miss that. The Lord has allowed me to use that passage of Scripture many times, and it works. Do thyself no harm. Okay, so here we have Paul. He's in prison. Now, when he's in prison, he had a choice, didn't he? He had a choice. He could have been very bitter, unthankful, no gratitude, but he wasn't. He was singing and praising God. He was giving thanks unto God. Now, I'm going to ask you a question here in a little while. Why do we give thanks? There's many reasons. But the Lord showed me there's only one reason why we need to give thanks. We're going to look at that. But before we look at that, go over to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll start in verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You realize we have to do that sometimes? We have to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart. For what? Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to give thanks always for all things. Once again, Paul was content in all things. We're to give thanks in all things. We don't always do that. In this country, most people give thanks how often? Thanksgiving. One day out of the year, people decide to give thanks on Thanksgiving Day. That's not what God wants from you and I. He wants us to be thankful every day in all things at all times. Because when we're thankful, we're also able to be content. Now, go to Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to start in verse 12. It says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Are you the elect of God? Are we the elect of God? Yes, we are. Bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. That's a big one right there. Forbearing one another, putting up with one another. You know, we're not always easy to put up with. If you think you are, then we can pray afterwards. Because we're not always real nice people all the time. And it says, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also do ye. See, unforgiveness is a problem. Because usually with unforgiveness, there's also a lack of thankfulness for that brother or that quarrel or that situation, whatever. There's usually unthankfulness involved in unforgiveness. And it says, And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to do the which also ye are called in one body, and be what? Unthankful? No, be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Didn't we just read that in the previous verse? Spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all by the name of the Lord Jesus, giving what? Giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. See, the Lord keeps telling us He wants us to give thanks in everything. In everything, all these Christian virtues that we read right here, can you give thanks for the person that is rubbing you the wrong way? Yeah, you can. Can you give thanks for someone who has hurt you? Yes, you can. But you can't do it in your own strength. You can't do it in your own ability. You have to allow God to cause your heart to be thankful, to cause you to have a gratitude toward whatever's going on in your life. Now, I said earlier, why do we give thanks? What are some of the reasons? Why do you give thanks? What? We're thankful. That's a very religious term. We're thankful. For what? Why are you thankful? What's that? Okay. What are some other reasons we're thankful? What's that? Warms the heart. Okay. Sounds good. What's that? You're thankful because you love your Father for what He does for us. Okay. Turn over to Psalms chapter 106. Because I asked that question. There's only one reason, and none of us have an excuse not to be thankful. None of us. Because the reason we should be thankful in all things is because, and I'm going to read more than one passage of this in Psalms. Psalms 106:1. Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord for what? He is good. That's why we should be giving thanks. We should be giving thanks in all things because God is good. For His mercy endureth forever. Amen. But we're thankful because He is good. And when we understand He is good, we can be content in whatever state we're at because we are thankful because He is good. Not because of the blessing we get. Yeah, that's nice. Not because of the things He allows us to see and do. Yeah, that's nice. We can be thankful for that. But we're thankful because He is good. We only have those things because He is good. God is good. We hear it during communion and offering. People say, God is good. And you go, all the time. And then the person goes, all the time, God is good. Well, do you really believe that? If you really believe that God is good all the time, you should be thankful all the time. I got one amen. Okay, go over to Psalms 105:1. Now, don't go to Psalms 105:1. Go to 107:1. Thank you, Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Isn't that what I just said? Okay, that's twice we've heard the same passage of Scripture. Go over to Psalms 118, please. Verse 1. And once again it says, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endureth forever. How many times have we heard that now? Three. Pastor Bill used to always say, when something is said more than three times in God's Word, you better pay attention. Well, guess what? Go down to verse 29. It says, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. That's four times now. We're to give thanks because He is good. If God would never bless us again, if God would not give us or provide any other thing in our life, we can still give Him thanks in all things for one reason. What is it? He is good. That wasn't too convincing. For what? What's the one reason? He is good. All the time? He is good. Amen? Okay. That word thanks there in verse 29. It says, hold out the hand. Or to revere or worship with extended hands. That's what we're doing when we're praising and worshiping God. We're extending our hands and we're giving thanks. And why are we praising and extending our hands and giving Him thanks? Because He's good. We're acknowledging that He is good. And just by lifting our hands, we're saying to Him without saying anything out of our mouth, You are good, God. You are good. And see, when we know that He's good, then all those other scriptures that I looked at in contentment about taking no thought and Frank preached on today, okay, all those things now then take on a whole different meaning. Because we know He's going to meet all those needs. We know He's going to do all those things. Because He's good. He's a good God. He's a good Father. Go to Psalms 136. Now, this is five times. Psalms 136:1 says, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. Go to verse 26. This one doesn't say, for God is good, but might as well. It says, Oh, give thanks unto God of heaven, for His mercy endureth forever. But see, this is now five times that same scripture is repeated. Oh, give thanks unto God, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Okay, go to Psalms 147. Remember what I said about that word, thanks. It's like the lifting or extending of our hands unto God. Psalms 147:7 says, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. When we come in here on Sundays, when we come here on Sundays to praise and worship the Lord, the Lord gives us the choir to lead us in praise and worship. But sometimes, if you stand back here, because they're standing up here looking out and watching us. And we're standing back here looking at them. And sometimes I see the look on the people who are singing and leading praise and worship. They're trying to get us to enter in to praise and worship. They're trying to get us to elevate and causes God's presence to enter in. And sometimes the look on their face is like, oh Lord, this is a tough one. This is a tough one this morning. These people look half asleep. But see, if we understand what it says here, sing unto the Lord with a half a heart. Sing unto the Lord when you feel like it. Sing unto the Lord when the choir has got you to a place that you can now enter in. That's not what it says. See, and I think we miss out so much in praise and worship because we're not singing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. That's why he says we're to be thankful in all things. When we come through that door, we should already be entering in with a thankful heart. That thankful heart will cause us to praise and worship God because we're so thankful. Okay, Lord, I'm just going to say it. None of us have an excuse for not singing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Why can I stand here and say that? Because we just looked at five verses that are repeated throughout God's Word. They said, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Is there anyone in here that doesn't know that God is good? Then we have no excuse for not singing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. We have no excuse for not praising God. None. Because He is good. He is worthy of praise. He is worthy of receiving thanks. Because He is good. And His mercy does endure forever. Thank God for His mercy. Think where you and I would be if it wasn't for God's mercy. We'd be in big trouble. And just like I talked about when I was talking about contentment, because we're not content, and because we're not thankful in all things, I think we miss out on so many little things that God is trying to show us. And turn over to Romans 1, chapter 1. Verse 21 of Romans chapter 1. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not to God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beast and creeping things. See, I remember being in Lake Tahoe one morning. I got up real early in the morning. And the Lord told me to drive to this little place that was on the edge of Lake Tahoe. You could park there and just walk down to the shore. And I was so thankful because it was so still. It was so quiet. And I never will forget it because I'm just sitting there, just being thankful for God's creation. You know how many times we just take for granted the things that are around us, the beauty that God has already made, just in His creation, let alone those friends and those people that He's given you. We sometimes are just not, we don't have gratitude and thankfulness. Because one of the things that we learned about contentment is murmuring and complaining. If we were all perfect, we would be like Enoch. But we're not. We've all got faults. We've all got errors. But that should not stop us from being thankful for one another. But I was on that lake, and it was so quiet. It was so still. And the Lord says, just watch. I want to show you something. And all of a sudden, out in the distance, I hear all these birds flying. The Lord says, listen. Like I said, it was quiet. It was a whole flock of geese coming into Lake Tahoe. And they were all scattered. Different flight patterns. The Lord says, watch. And one of the geese let out with whatever a geese lets out. But it was a call. He was the lead geese, or lead goose, whatever. But as soon as that sound came out of that goose's mouth, all of a sudden you saw all these other geese form into that V. It was absolutely beautiful. It was absolutely breathtaking. And the Lord said, that's where I want to get my people. Because He said, there's one voice, right? The voice of Jesus. But they all just formed a line. And they all just came in a V pattern. And just landed on that lake. I just sat there in awe of what the Lord allowed me to experience. But that's one instance. There's so many. See, no one is going to be able to stand before God and accuse Him of not showing Himself to them. Creation shows God's magnificence every single day. It shows the goodness of God every single day. But yet, people still deny it. I wrote down, when we are unhappy, uncontent or discontented, unthankful, unaware of God's presence, we become unthankful. See, that passage that we looked at of Paul in the prison, and even when he was writing Philippians, it was not written with unthankfulness. He was thankful because he knew that God was good. And you gotta think of Paul. Was there ever a time in Paul's life that he didn't think God was good? There had to be, because he went about trying to kill Christians. So at some point he had to think, this so-called God that they're talking about can't be good, so I got to try to help the God that I know at that time and kill him off. What's going on with Muslims today? They think they're doing God's will, until someone gets the chance to witness to them and they actually read what God's word says, and then they realize all the things they're being taught are not anywhere close to what's in the book that they're being taught from. Not even close. Not even the same God. But yet they think it is. So I just wrote down some things here. We thank God for the blessings that we enjoy. Yes or no? Yes. We thank God for the people around you. Look to your right, look to your left. Are you thankful for that person around you? Maybe right now you are, but after you walk out the door, that's between you and God. You should be thankful. Do you thank God for trials and persecutions? This one's already been said. Thank God for salvation. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for His presence. Now, thank God for the Holy Spirit. I want to share something briefly. Pastor Elnora shared with Sue and I in a visitation we had with her after Pastor Bill passed. And we were talking about another man of God who had fallen. And they happened to attend the church on the particular Sunday that he was repenting to his congregation for what he had done to cause his fall. And Pastor Elnora said, the one thing she'll never forget, in the sincerity of his repentance, he cried out. She goes, I don't even remember how long he cried out. But he cried out, please, Lord, do not take the Holy Spirit from me. Do not take the Holy Spirit from me. This is a man of God that walked with God. He made a mistake. He fell. But yet he knew the importance and the power of the Holy Ghost. And yet there are people that want to argue whether you need the Holy Spirit. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues. Here's a man who had it that knew he would be, it would be hard for him to continue his ministry and his walk without the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And she says he cried for however long, Lord, don't take the Holy Spirit from me. See, he was thankful. He was thankful for that Holy Spirit. Gratitude. Gratitude, this is what I wrote down. Gratitude produces godly attitude. See, when we got gratitude, or we have thankfulness, that's God's heart. He wants us to be thankful. Now, I'm in good time, Lord. Thank you. Okay. I did a little further research on thankfulness. Because my whole life has been in so-called medical field, in rehab and conditioning and training. And I've been fortunate. Because in 40-some years, I've never got up and said, "Oh, God, I got to go to work." Never said that. Never. I've been thankful for every day that I've been given the opportunity to get up and go to work. Every day. Why do I say that? Because here's some things that I learn about gratitude and thankfulness. How many of you ever had aches or pains? Forbes magazine reports that it has been scientifically proven that giving thanks can improve your physical well-being. According to the source, a 2012 study showed that grateful people experience fewer aches and pains, and they report feeling healthier than other people. Interesting. Because the opposite of that is murmuring and complaining and being unthankful, getting down, getting oppressed, getting depressed, and all of a sudden, oh, this hurts. Oh, that hurts. I'm not saying we don't have days, we don't have aches and pains. But it's saying this could be in part because people who experience gratitude are also more likely to take care of their health, adds the source. They exercise more often and more likely to attend regular checkups with their doctors. It explains, noting lifespan can be extended as a result, just from being thankful. It says one of the unexpected outcomes of expressing gratitude can be that you get something back from it. This seems to be in line with research on the subject cited by the Harvard Medical School, which involved participants writing about particular topics over the course of weeks. During the study, one group wrote about things they were grateful for that had happened during their week, while another focused on things that made them upset. After 10 weeks, those who wrote about things they were grateful for were more optimistic and felt better about their lives, according to the source. Verywell.com actually has a number of reasons why giving thanks can reduce the amount of stress in your life. But let's focus on a few of them. Being a generally grateful person helps you see the good in others, even if they're being difficult, which can be a source of stress for many less equipped to deal with those types. You can't imagine this person. I mean, we get unthankful and ungrateful. We consider them a pain, rather than saying, "Thank you, Lord. This person's rubbing me the wrong way." And the Lord showed me a long time ago, being rubbed the wrong way is good. Robert will attest to this. Before diamond blade saws came about, Robert, to get stones to fit together properly, they had to be rubbed together, didn't they? Yeah. Robert is known for great stonework. He was very thankful for diamond blade saws. Because otherwise they had to rub and chip and cut away. But they had to rub them together. It says, being a generally grateful person helps you see the good in others, even if they're being difficult, which can be a source of stress for many less equipped to deal with those types. They see the opportunity in a challenging situation and use it to learn and grow from. Rather than dreading it, adds a source, this attitude can be extended to spouses, family and friends, children, etc., etc. People with a greater level of attitude tend to have stronger relationships in that they appreciate their loved ones more, explains the site. Another positive is that many people in your life will recognize this and want to do better for you. People like to be around thankful and people who have gratitude. They just like, you're like a magnet. This is a good one. Apparently, not saying thank you regularly, I can just imagine. Lord, you got a good sense of humor. I'm just going to tell you what he just spoke to me. People are going to start walking around saying thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. It says apparently not saying thank you regularly can actually deprive you of sleep. So people who can't sleep, they're going to be start walking around going thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And, you know, their spouse is going to be looking at, why are you saying thank you? I'm getting ready to go to bed and I need a good night's sleep. Okay? According to Psychology Today, grateful thoughts can help you get a great night's sleep. This is not just a conclusion made by the source. It was actually backed up by a study. It cites a study published in Applied Psychology that shows students who wrote in a gratitude journal for 15 minutes each night helped ease worries and promote longer and better quality rest. With positive thoughts as a lullaby, you're more likely to drift off into a peaceful slumber. See, this only confirms what Carolyn Leaf talks about. Carolyn Leaf is the one who's a psychologist who was told while she was in school that you couldn't change your thoughts or the way the brain functioned. That if it was damaged to the brain, you couldn't change it. Well, she's proven biblically that by changing your thoughts, using God's word to change those thoughts, she describes two types of trees. One is a dark tree and another one is a flourishing tree. And the dark tree looks like little holes in the brain. The other one is healthy tissue in the brain. And she's actually showed that you can take that damaged tissue in the brain and with proper thoughts, thanksgiving, gratitude, and all these other things, you can change that bad tree into a healthy tree. And thanksgiving and gratitude is part of that. And I ran across this list, the benefits of gratitude, and it divided into emotional, social, personal, health-wise, and career-wise. And in the middle of those five things, it had a big red thing that said happiness. Here were the things that thanksgiving and gratitude does emotionally. You feel better. You're more relaxed. You're more resilient. You're less envious. And you have happier memories. Socially, you're more social. You have healthier marriages. You're kinder. You're more friendly. And the relationships you have are deeper relationships. personally? Someone who's thankful and grateful, less materialistic, less self-centered, more optimistic. They have better self-esteem, and they're more spiritual. Health-wise, someone who's happy and thankful and grateful has improved sleep. They are sick less. Longevity is higher. Increased energy. And they exercise more. Career-wise, better management of time. Better networking is improved. Goal achievement is better. They have improved decision-making. And they have increased productivity. All because of thankfulness and gratitude. That's why there's a big red thing in the middle that says happiness. So, why are we happy? Why are we thankful? Why are we grateful? What's that? God is good. That's right. That's why we can be grateful. That's why we can be thankful in all things. See, we can't be thankful in all things based upon situation or circumstances. We can be grateful in all things because God is good. And God is good all the time. And all the time God is good, so we can be thankful all the time. We can be content in whatever state we're in because God is good all the time. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to fail you. He's never going to forsake you. He is good. He's a good... Everyone knows this song. I'm trying to think who sings it. Good, good Father. Chris Tomlin sings that song. Good, good Father. He is a good Father. But more importantly, he's a good God. He's a good God. He's such a good God that when Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, our good God had a plan for reconciliation of his creation back to Jesus. That's how good of a God he is. Satan thought, yeah, it's over. But it wasn't. And the most amazing thing about that, there was a book that Pastor Bill gave me one time called The Chemistry of the Blood. Most fascinating book I ever read. Because Jesus could not have been born of a woman who had conceived as a result of sexual intercourse with another man. Because there would have been sin. That's why Mary was implanted with the divine Son of God. And she had never had a relationship with Joseph because as a result of that, Jesus remained pure and without sin. And this went through the whole, how that happened from a development standpoint and how that blood that he shed on Calvary was so pure because it was not tainted by a relationship and a woman conceiving a child as a result of having a relationship with another man. She was impregnated by the Holy Spirit and conceived a sinless son without spot, without wrinkle. So, in order to be content, we can't be content without what we learned from Paul, Paul learned to be content in whatever state he was in, but the reason Paul could be content in whatever state he was in, because Paul had learned how to be thankful also. So when you think of contentment, you need to think of thankfulness also, because thankfulness and contentment go back to back. Amen? And the reason we can be thankful in all things is for one reason and one reason only. What is it? God is good. You want to play that song for me, Tiffany? Then we'll close in prayer. And if anyone needs prayer, I'd be more than happy to pray. Forever he is faithful, for God is good. God is faithful. And the reason I played that song is because it went through a lot of different things to just remind you of his goodness, to remind you of all the things that he has done, all the things that he is doing, and all the things he will continue to do because he is good. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. And we give you thanks because you are good. You are a good, good Father. You are a good God. And we can give thanks in everything. We can learn to be content in whatever state we're in, Father. Whether we understand it, whether we don't understand it, we can give you thanks because you are good. Lord, we get caught by surprise many times in the affairs of our lives. But Lord, you never are caught off guard. There's nothing that ever surprises you. But Lord, we just have to have the assurance of knowing that we can rest in you. We can be content in whatever we're going through because you are good. And as a good father, you watch over, you protect, and you keep each and every one of us until that final day that you call us home. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your long-suffering. We thank you for your mercy that endures forever. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.